Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Madeline. Madeline is leading our women's Bible studies. We have one that meets on Tuesday morning and one that meets on Monday evening. So if you're a woman and you're interested in getting involved in one of our small groups and going to her Bible study, then come find Madeline afterwards. And we're glad that she's here with us. And community is a big part of our story of why, how she's at Grace and Peace. And so I'm sure she'd love to tell you about that sometime. My name's Shane Hatfield. I'm your pastor, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. So thanks for coming and being a part of our fellowship. We are going to begin studying Ephesians this morning. Let me pray that God would bless our time in his word. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. It is true. It is good. It is beautiful. It is sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. Would you help us to taste and see that it is good now and that you are good? In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. So we're starting the book of Ephesians, and we've titled this sermon series, Ephesians in Christ, an ancient identity for the modern church. And we're really going to be talking a lot about this theme of being in Christ. It's a phrase that Paul uses over 200 times in his writings. It's a phrase that's very prominent in the book of Ephesians, and it's a phrase that we are going to really hone in on during this sermon series. And when you talk about being in Christ, the thing that you're really hitting on is your identity. Who are you? Okay? That question, who am I, is a fundamental question to being human. It is a question that we all ask. It's a question that we all need answered, right? And it's actually a question that you kind of, in a, like, you know, small, colloquial way, answer when you introduce yourself to somebody. You might say, hi, I'm Shane Hatfield. And they might want to know something about you. And so you might say something. What do you say after that? What do you put after the dots, right? Hello, my name is Shane Hatfield, dot, dot, dot. What do you say? Well, when I was in college, I had a friend who named Chad who loved to give this funny introduction for me when he would introduce me to people. See, I'm deaf in one of my ears. And that happened because I saved somebody from a burning car once. Not really, it's just joking. It was a work accident. But my friend Chad, he would love to introduce me this way. He would say, hey, this is my friend Shane. He's deaf in one ear. All the time, everybody, it didn't matter who it was. That's how he introduced me. I was defined by my deafness. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. I'm sure he'll listen to the podcast and he'll love that. I won't reveal all of his secrets to you now in the sermon. How would you introduce yourself, or how would someone introduce you? This question of identity, it comes back to who we are and what our purpose is. It reminded me of Jim Carrey. In 2016, Jim Carrey, he's an actor, he's a comedian, he's famous for The Mask and Ace Ventura and all these things. Well, in 2016, which is pretty far into his career, he got to introduce himself on the Golden Globes. And this is what Jim Carrey said. He comes up there and he says, thank you. I am 2-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey. And they all sort of laughed. And then he introduced himself again. He said, thank you. I am 2-time Golden Globe winner, Jim Carrey. You know, whenever I go to sleep at night, I'm just a guy going to sleep. And I'm a 2-time Golden Globe winner going to sleep. And, you know, just going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't just dream any old dream. No, sir, I dream about being 3-time Golden Globe winning actor Jim Carrey. Because then I would finally be enough. It would finally be true. And I could stop this. And he glances around at this audience filled with superstars and says, this terrible search for what I ultimately know won't fulfill me. And everybody laughs. But later on, he went on to say that amidst of having everything that he dreamed of, everything that he wanted. In the midst of literally being a two-time Golden Globe award-winning actor, he was miserable. He was not happy. He was not fulfilled. He was not satisfied. Why? Because he had found his identity in something that he had achieved in and of himself. And that identity left him feeling wanting. That identity was not enough to fulfill him. It was not enough to satisfy him. Because ultimately, that's not the identity that he was created for. He was created to find his identity in God through Jesus Christ. Our search for identity is a fundamental struggle of being human. Who are we? What do we want? What is our purpose? And what the gospel offers us ultimately is an identity that is received through Jesus, not an identity that is achieved through our own effort in this world. And as we go through the book of Ephesians, what we're going to see over and over and over again is that by grace, through faith in Jesus, we receive this new identity in Christ. And we live out this new identity in Christ. And that the church is a very particular, special, unique group of people. We're going to talk a lot about who the church is and what the church does and what its ministry is. And I want you to see that the church is a community of people who have been created in Christ through grace for peace. The church is a community of people that have been created in Christ through God's grace for God's peace. And so this morning, as we look at this introduction, as how Paul introduces himself, what you're going to see is that we're going to see that there is, Paul lays out, sort of identifies himself as a messenger to the Ephesians in Christ. Then we're going to look at his ministry to the Ephesians in Christ. And then we're going to look at his message to the Ephesians in Christ. He's a messenger in Christ. He's got a ministry in Christ. And he's got a message in Christ. All to the Ephesians and then to us. So first thing, let's look at this messenger in Christ to the Ephesians. Right? You see it right here. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So his apostleship, his office, his title comes from Christ. Well, who is Paul? So the apostle Paul, Paul is his Greek name that he gave himself so that he can minister to the Gentiles, is also Saul of Tarsus. Saul was his Jewish name. He was a very devout Jew. He was what we call a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were not professional religious people. They were lay religious people. So you had the high priests. Those the priestly order, that was kind of the professionals. And then you had the Pharisees, they were kind of laymen, right? They were just your average Joe, but they were very, very devout. They were very religious. They kept all the rules, and they made up more rules to keep. He was hyper religious, and he was devoted to Judaism, which means that he was opposed to Christ. He persecuted the church. He would track down Christians or people that followed the way. He would track them down. He would take them to court. He would get them put in prison. And in some instances, he would even be there whenever they were beaten and killed. That happened to Stephen. Saul was there. So this Paul, or Saul, was literally a persecutor of Christians. And now he's saying he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. How do you go from being a persecutor to an apostle? Well, whenever Saul was on the road to Damascus and he was going to persecute Christians, he met Jesus on the road. Or actually, Jesus met him and knocked him to the ground. And he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And after that, God blinded him, really just showed him that he couldn't see anyways. And then he eventually removed those scales. And whenever Paul's scales were removed, he confessed that Jesus was Christ. He was baptized into the Christian church. And he was transformed from a persecutor of Christ into an apostle of Christ. His life was transformed. He received a new identity in Jesus. He was no longer a persecutor of the church. He was a member of the church. He was no longer in opposition to Christ. He was a friend of Christ. Christ was his Lord and Savior, and he became an apostle. What is an apostle? Apostle is someone who is especially chosen and called to teach someone with authority, right? But there's an even deeper spiritual meaning to this phrase apostleship in the New Testament. It means that the person who is the sender, right? The person who is being sent, and the sender, so in this case, Christ and Paul, are so closely linked together that the message is inseparable from the person who sends it. So for Paul to say, I'm an apostle, he is saying that I'm so closely associated with Jesus that when I share his message, it's as if Jesus Christ himself is sharing it. He carried all the authority of Jesus in his apostleship. An apostle was someone special. An apostle was someone who saw the risen Jesus and was commissioned by the risen Jesus. We don't have apostles today because we don't have people that see the risen Jesus, right, and are commissioned by him. We have elders and pastors and teachers and those sorts of offices. But these men were, Paul was especially equipped and called and commissioned to be the divine messenger of Jesus. Now, you have no idea how radically other this would have been for the Jews and the Christians. I mean, whenever Paul got converted, they were so scared of him that God had to send another prophet ahead of Paul to say, look, Paul is coming. He's going to be converted. Don't be scared. It's okay. You can listen to him. That's how scared they were of Saul of Tarsus. And that's how radically different his life was changed. Now, I saw a small illustration of this during the Olympics. Okay, now don't get me wrong. I'm not equating these people as equals here. But who was the guest celebrity ambassador for the United States for the Olympics? Snoop Dogg. Which he did a really funny job, by the way. He was really good at it. But I looked at Cher and I was like, how did Snoop Dogg go from gangster rapper to international ambassador? With the full authority of the United States of America in France, representing us to thousands of people. Now, imagine that on a magnitude by 10 scale. That is what it was like. That's what it would have been like for the Christians to be like, hey, the Apostle Paul is now representing us to the world. He was radically transformed by his identity in Christ. God changed him and changed his identity. It was an identity that he received, not one that he achieved. So let me just first make this point. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, no matter what your deepest, darkest, worst sins are, no matter how good you've been, no matter how bad you have been, in Christ, you can go from an enemy of God to a friend of God. That's how powerful it is to be in Christ. That's the invitation of the gospel, is to get an identity that is received from Jesus, not achieved through your own work, or failing to achieve through your own sins. Second point I want to make is this, that as we study the book of Ephesians, this message carries all the authority of Jesus. We look at all of Scripture as if it's God's word. And so there are going to be some times in Ephesians when we're going to get into some things that quite frankly are challenging, that you may not like, that I may not like. But they're the words of Jesus coming through Paul. And so we submit to them. Also, I want to make this point. Paul was an apostle by the will of God. The will of God is something we're going to talk a lot about in Ephesians. And we're going to talk more about it next week. God is a person who has a mind, will, and emotion, an infinite, eternal, unchangeable mind, will, and emotions. And because of that, he has a plan. And he carries out that plan in human history. And we're going to talk about that plan. Ephesians says that God works all things according to his will, Ephesians 1:11, including choosing the church before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. Predestinating the church for adoption, Ephesians 1:5. And revealing the mystery of his will and his purpose in Christ, Ephesians 1:9. And that's just a sampling. That Paul was an apostle by God's will. God has a will for your life and a will for human history that he is carrying out. And it includes you, by grace through faith, being a part of his church. And it also includes you becoming a part of his ministry. And that's the second thing we see, is that this messenger, Paul, becomes a medium for the ministry in Christ. Look at verse 1 again. It says, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, to the saints who are in Ephesus, okay, again, this would have been utterly shocking to first century Jews who would have read this, okay? Ephesus is located on the western edge of modern-day Turkey, and it's located right on the Aegean Sea. It was a port city, and it ended up becoming the capital city of the Roman province in Asia there. It means it was a big deal, okay? And a lot of people were going in and out of the city of Ephesus. Right? It was a capital city. It was a port city. So there's lots of people, lots of ideas, lots of thoughts coming in and out. So its people were, one, they were religious. This was the headquarters for the cult goddess Diana or Artemis. So the people there were religious. They believed in gods. They were spiritual. They were also educated. Not long after Paul's ministry there, they built the Library of Celsus, which is a famous ancient library. And still today, if you go to Ephesus, you will see that that library is a central part of the city. It is the largest ancient building still remaining in Ephesus. They were educated people. They were into philosophy and mysticism and education. And they were also highly immoral. If you went to Ephesus and you got off the boat and you began walking to the city, you would see signs from this time period still there pointing you to brothels. And underneath the library where they did all their learning, there were tunnels that were built to go from underneath the library to the brothels. They were religious, they were educated, they were immoral. So they really weren't that much different than our culture today. And yet Paul describes these people as what? As saints, faithful saints. A saint is a Jewish phrase meaning to be set apart or consecrated. It was sometimes reserved for angels. It would have been unthinkable, even offensive at this time to call a Jew a saint. One commentator said that Paul bestows upon all these pagan-born hearers a privilege formerly reserved in Israel for special servants, especially the priests of God. God converted these pagans, these people who were immoral, who were mystical, who were idolatrous, into his special, chosen, consecrated, separated, beautiful, loved, Holy Spirit-filled people. How? Well, there was a man named Apollos who knew the scriptures, and he came and he taught them to the Ephesians. But Apollos only knew the baptism of John, not the baptism of Jesus. And so he used the scriptures to show that Jesus was the Christ, but there wasn't the power behind his ministry. And so whenever Paul arrived, and he found these disciples, and he baptized them into the name of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit radically transformed that area. And Paul spent 2 years teaching and preaching there the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it radically transformed their lives, and it radically transformed their culture. It was so transformative that so many people stopped worshiping Artemis that the idol makers, the people who made the little statues of Artemis, they were losing too much money, and they caused a riot, and 20,000 people stormed their stadium chanting, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, to try to get people to start buying idols again. The gospel changed these people, and it changed their economy, and it changed their culture. And that's what happens when the ministry of Christ in Paul transformed this world. And that's what happens when the ministry of Christ in us gets into the world. That's what happens when the message of Ephesians gets into the culture. It changes things. It transforms things. whether you're in a first century Jew or you're a 20th century American. John McKay was the president of Princeton Theological Seminary. And in July of 1900, he wrote this. He became a Christian when he was 14, and he wrote this. He said, in July of 1903, as a lad of 14, he experienced through reading Ephesians a boyish rapture in the Highland Hills and made a passionate protestation of Jesus Christ among the rocks and the starlight. He said, I saw a new world. Everything was new. I had a new outlook, new experiences, new attitudes to other people. I loved God. Jesus Christ became the center of everything. I had been quickened. I was really alive. His life was changed through reading Ephesians. Now, youngsters, I want to point this out to you. I want you to listen. He was 14 years old, and he got converted reading the scriptures. You need to be reading scripture. Read the scriptures. Pray through them. You're never too young to start studying and reading the scriptures. It can change your life. Okay? Read the scriptures, no matter how young you are. Read them. And it can change the world. McKay became the professor of Princeton. And then whenever he got asked to give a special set of lectures before the World Council of Churches, and he used Ephesians for those sermons. And he said this. He says, Ephesians is the greatest, maturest, most relevant book for our time. It distills the essence of the Christian religion, the most authoritative and most consummate compendium of our holy faith. This letter is pure music. When we read it, hear its truth, it sings. Its doctrine set to music. As the apostle proclaimed the order to the post-Augustan Roman era, which was marked by a process of social disintegration, so Ephesians is today the most contemporary book in the Bible, since it promises community in a world of disunity, reconciliation in place of alienation, and peace instead of war. That was in 1948. Has anything really changed much in 80 years? We need Ephesians as people, and the world needs Ephesians. The world needs Ephesians. It needs the gospel proclaimed in the book of Ephesians so that the world, because the world is filled with disunity, alienation, and war, and what Paul's ministry shows is that through the gospel, community, we can have community instead of disunity. We can have reconciliation instead of alienation. And we can have peace instead of war. And he uses people in Christ to do that. The medium of the gospel is the messengers of Christ. It's us. Whether you're at school, whether you're at work, whether you're the hospital, whether you're at on the ball field, no matter where you are, you in Christ become the medium for this message and this ministry as you minister to others. And that's the last thing we see is this message of Ephesians that transforms us and transforms the world. We see it here in verse 2. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the standard opening for Paul. You can see this in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, etc. It's not uncommon for Paul to use this introduction. And what he does here is fascinating. He takes a common Greek greeting. Common Greek, the Greek word for grace. It was very common to greet people with grace in the Greek culture. And it meant hello, and it also meant rejoicing. But what he does is he changes it slightly. He changes this word to mean grace. What he's showing is the gospel gives us something new. It's a gift. His greeting comes with a gift from God. He takes that word and he puts it with the Hebrew greeting, shalom, which means peace. And so he takes a Greek greeting and a Hebrew greeting and he puts them together and he says grace and peace. And what he is greeting them with, what he is praying for them, what he is weaving into all of his letters is this idea that it's God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned, unrepayable favor that brings peace in our lives. Peace is wholeness. It's completeness. It is harmony. And what we have had ever since the fall is a world disrupted by sin that has no peace. And Paul is saying that the way that that peace is going to get restored is through God's grace, that it's his undeserved, unearned, unrepaid favor that brings harmony and wholeness and completeness to our lives. And so if you're here this morning and you're looking at your life, and maybe you're like Jim Carrey, and you've achieved everything of your dreams, and you're still unsatisfied, the message of Ephesians says that it is God's grace that will bring peace in your life. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've screwed it all up. You've taken every gift that God has given you and you've spoiled it, and you've ruined it, and you've wasted it. And you're looking at your life now and going, what did I do with everything that God has given me? What Paul is going to show you is that you can find peace through God's grace. That you haven't, yes, you haven't earned it. Yes, you don't deserve it. Yes, you can't repay it. But God still gives it to you in Christ anyways. In Christ, you can have an identity that's received and not achieved. Or maybe you're just average. Most of us just fall somewhere in the range of average, right? We're not as bad as we could be. We're not as good as we should be. But we're just average. And Ephesians says that in Christ, you have, even average people have, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. An average person in Christ has every blessing in the spiritual places. You couldn't earn more spiritual blessings. You won't receive less spiritual blessings in Christ. You have all of it. You could be as average could be, and yet in Christ, you are infinitely above average. That's the identity that you receive in Christ. That's what the gospel gives you. I open with talking about introductions. When I was in college, I also had somebody else that would introduce me a lot, and that was my pastor, Doc. And I love Doc. Doc was a sports fanatic. He loves sports. He's like an FCA legend. But anyways, whenever I met Doc, he found out that I was on the 1999 Coweta Tigers state championship baseball team. Okay. And so anytime I met somebody, Doc loved to introduce me as, this is Shane Hatfield. He was on the 1999 Coweta Tigers state baseball championship team. And I would say, yes, I was. Thank you. It is nice to meet you. And I never had the heart to tell Doc that I cheered from the bench and was a courtesy runner more than I ever played on that team. Like, in baseball, that's metric, wins above replacement, right? It's like, if you replaced, you know, if you were to take you out of the lineup, how many wins would your team lose? I would have, like, negative wins above replacement. Okay, I was not integral to winning the state championship whatsoever, other than the fact that I ran bases for people who actually got hits. Okay? Yet, I have a ring that says 1999 4A state championship on it. And that was an identity that I received by the grace of other much better baseball players. It's not an identity that I achieved. That's what we get in Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus and you make him your Lord and Savior and you give your life to him, he gives you an identity that is achieved by him. It's by his works. It's by his effort. It's by his blood on the cross that you are found in Christ. And you receive that. And it's yours. And you get to wear it around. And every time you introduce yourself to someone, you can say, I'm Shane Hatfield. I am in Christ. I am Julie Johns. I am in Christ. I am Mike Dunham. I am in Christ. I am Brady Holden. I am in Christ. And in doing that, you are saying that you have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that you could ever possibly imagine. That's who you are. That's what we receive in Jesus. And that's the ministry that we carry out in this world. And that's the thing that will change it. You see, God's will in Christ that we will look at is that he wanted to unite heaven and earth through Jesus. Paul will say that he wanted to unite all things in Christ. Through the gospel, God is going to unite heaven and earth through Jesus, and through our ministry. Now, I don't know how that looks like, what that looks like, and how that gets carried out, but God says that's what he's going to do. That's what he did in Jesus, and that's what he wants to do through us. So let's pray that as we study this book, that would happen in our lives and in this world. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this messenger, this ministry, and this message. That in Jesus, Father, you have given us a gift of salvation that is undeserved, that is unearned, it's unrepayable, that it brings wholeness to our lives. It is an identity that we have received, not achieved. We thank you for it. And we pray, Lord God, that it would transform our lives and that we would use it to transform the world. Would you make us messengers of your grace and peace and ministers of your grace and peace to Tulsa and beyond. Pray for any here this morning that don't have peace with you and don't have peace with others. God, I pray that you would open their eyes and their hearts today. And that today would be the day of salvation when they confess their faith in you, that their scales are removed from their eyes, and that they finally see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.